Welcome back to Storytime by Chava. We are continuing the book Once Upon a Journey, Volume 2, by Rabbi Zalman Rederman. We are up to Chapter 91, A Mysterious Gain. How did Yosef Yitzchak, the Eloi of Sharia, come to marry Dvorah Leah, the sister of Baruch of Vitebsk? That is a story in itself. After Hirsch told Kerpel about the secret missions that Rav Yisrael Baal Shem Tov had given Reb Kahus and himself, Kerpel decided to accompany Hirsch to meet the Baal Shem Tov. For a number of months, Hirsch and Kerpel wandered through many Jewish towns and villages, where they met in secret with some of the most important members of the Nestorim. The highlight of their journey was their meeting with the Baal Shem Tov himself, who would later, after the passing of Rav Adam Baal Shem, become the leader of the Nestorim. Kerpel's meeting with the Baal Shem Tov impressed him so much that he decided to raise his young son to follow in the path of the tzaddik and his holy students. The Baal Shem Tov gave Kerpel detailed instructions on how to raise and educate Yosef Yitzchak. Later, at the tzaddik's suggestion, Kerpel sent Yosef Yitzchak to learn at the famed yeshiva of Minsk. Kerpel and his wife could not bear to live far away from their only beloved son, and so they moved from Sharia and settled in Minsk. To their delight, Yosef Yitzchak made great progress in his studies. Over time, he became very well known, and his fame spread far. Kerpel and Bracha supported the Nestorim. Their home became a place where the Nestorim met. They also supported the Nestorim with generous donations. The Baal Shem Tov advised Kerpel to donate most of his wealth to tzedakah. Kerpel considered his support of the Nestorim a most worthy cause. Thus, Yosef Yitzchak was raised by Kerpel and Bracha with a great love for the Nestorim and their leader, the Baal Shem Tov. At that time, the Baal Shem Tov had begun to introduce the ways and teachings that would later come to be known as Chassidus. After a few years in Minsk, the Baal Shem Tov advised Kerpel to enroll his son in a yeshiva located in the town of Smorgon. This town served as one of the main bases and places of growth for Chassidus. In Smorgon, Yosef Yitzchak became familiar with the ways and teachings of Chassidus on a much deeper level. In those times, Jewish communities suffered from a series of harsh decrees that were placed upon them by the non-Jews. The Catholic Church in Poland and Lithuania had been strongly influenced by the evil attitude of the Pope in Rome towards the Jews. The leaders of the Polish and Lithuanian churches did everything they could to make life as miserable as possible for the Jews in those lands. Among the decrees was an extra tax, a heavy burden placed only upon the Jews. Not only did they demand that the Jews pay heavy taxes, they demanded that the Jews be driven out altogether. "Driving out the Jews will bring much wealth to our lands," they screamed excitedly at every meeting. "The Jews will be forced to leave their homes and most of their belongings behind." Living under the constant threats of expulsion, the leading Torah sages decided to join together to protect the Jews of their communities. They created a special committee of leaders, scholars, and activists, which they named the Vad Haaretzos, the Committee of Lands, referring to the lands of Poland and Lithuania. The governments of those countries recognized the importance of this committee and treated it with respect. The Vad was active and assisted the Jewish communities for the next 200 years. The Vad was based in Krakow, Poland. Its members gathered for a general meeting once or twice a year. For each meeting, they would choose a large city in which the great fairs were held, where merchants, businessmen, and masses of people gathered from far and near. Years later, a separate Vad was created just for the Jews of Lithuania. This Vad dealt with the many problems facing those Jews specifically. It included the communities of Grodno, Vilna, Brisk, Slutsk, and many other towns and cities. The Vad also helped create yeshivas, Torah centers, and chesed institutions in many cities. In Minsk, for example, a guest home was built for anyone visiting the city. The Minsk community was especially interested in hosting the many Talmidei Chachamim who would often visit their city. An interesting event took place in Minsk at that time. The Gaon, Rav Yechiel Halperin, the author of Seder Hadaris, led a successful yeshiva in Slutsk, not far from the city of Minsk. The residents of Minsk greatly admired the guy and wished to appoint him as their Rav. After many attempts at persuading him, he accepted the position. He became the Rav and Av Beis Din of Minsk, and he opened a new yeshiva in the city. The Jewish community held a grand 7-day celebration to welcome their Rav to Minsk with Rabbanim and honored guests coming from all over to join in the celebration. By giving honor to the Gaon, they were honoring the Torah itself. Throughout the celebration, the new Rav delivered Divrei Torah and Pilpulim, and the sound of Torah filled the city. Once the celebrations had ended, life in Minsk returned to normal. Twice a year, Rav Halperin would deliver a brilliant Torah class to a select group of scholars. Only the Gaonim, the true experts in Torah, were permitted to attend these classes. It once happened that a group of wandering paupers arrived in town. As usual, they made their way to the large guest house. One of them was a 15-year-old boy. When he heard that the Rav of the city, the famous Rav Yechiel Halperin, would deliver one of his special Torah classes, he longed with all his heart to attend the shiur. Not surprisingly, though, he was not given permission to enter. Very few, even if they were elderly scholars or well-respected rabbanim, merited to attend the Gaon's twice-a-year shiurim. The boy refused to give up. Somehow, he managed to sneak into the room and listen to the shiur without being noticed. The Gaon compared two sections of Gemara and then described a string of contradictions between them. These were incredibly difficult sections of Gemara, and the questions he asked were highly complicated. In the second stage of his shiur, the Gaon answered his own questions one by one. At the end of the stage, he solved all the problems in the most brilliant manner. Finally, in the third stage of his shiur, he proved that his answers were not entirely satisfactory. His original questions had not been fully solved, and a lot more effort would have to go into finding solutions for them in the future. With this, the Gaon ended his shiur, and all of the participants rose and left the room. The next morning, the boy returned to the Gaon's yeshiva. He made his way to Rav Moshe, the son of Rav Yechiel. Without saying a word, he handed him a folded piece of paper. The boy then turned around and disappeared as quickly as he had come. Rav Moshe was very surprised. He unfolded the paper and began to read. To his amazement, he discovered that the 15-year-old pauper had written detailed answers to all the complicated questions that his father, the Gaon, had presented in his shiur just the day before. Rav Moshe was very excited. He ran to find his father and showed him the boy's paper. Rav Yechiel was just as astonished as his son. He immediately gave instructions to find the boy. A number of people said they had noticed the boy arriving in Minsk, together with the group of simple beggars who were now resting in the local guest house. When the Rav's messengers arrived at the guest house, they discovered that the boy, the mysterious young Gaon, had already disappeared. No one had seen him leave. No one knew where he had gone.